you want to send me a text, 1-800-465-8770. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Let's get political.
Earlier today, Nancy Pelosi announced that they're going to move forward with impeachment, that they will draft articles of impeachment. And according to the Washington Post, citing unnamed congressional aides, they're going to focus on obstruction of justice and bribery. They are not going to pursue treason, but they will pursue obstruction and bribery, despite yesterday hearing very clear evidence from Jonathan Turley, who's not a Trump fan, who didn't support Donald Trump, who didn't vote for Donald Trump, who hasn't been kissing his backside for the course of the last 3 years. This was a law professor, an expert, a scholar in this, saying there is no crime here. And if you rush and try to impeach this president under what you've presented so far, it is going to come back and bite you. Because you're not going to be able to stop the next group of Republicans who will try to impeach a Democrat as payback. But they are moving forward anyway. They're moving forward to impeach. And they're moving forward to impeach because they are still upset that Trump won. Trump was not supposed to win. Hillary Clinton was the anointed one. She was supposed to win. Not this slimy, evil, greedy, abusive, angry businessman from New York. He was not supposed to win. He was not a part of the establishment. And so the second that he won, the second that he defied all of the expectations coming from the left, Democrats got together and they decided to bring down this president. And in doing so, they decided to tell tens of millions of American citizens, we don't care who you want to be the president. We know better than you. We are going to undo the will of the people. This is not going to stop, and it's not just going to be a Republican Congress that goes after a Democratic president. It's going to be, again, Democrats in Congress going after a Republican president. They've decided that they're just going to make stuff up. They're going to invent crime. They're going to intuit evidence. And that's why Trump is pushing back so hard.
Impeachment might have on your legacy?
No, not at all. It's a hoax. It's a hoax. It's a big fat hoax.
Now, it's not a hoax. The impeachment is happening. But it is a scam. It is a sham. It is a whole bunch of different words that start with the letter S, some of which I can't use. Otherwise, you'd have to hit the dump button.
Do it. I won't hit the dump button. I promise. I promise I won't hit it.
I'm not going to do it. What I find amusing about all of this, talk about the media bias and all this, the media hates Donald Trump. With the exception of Fox News, the media has been going hard after the president. But they have to give you the appearance that they're trying to be fair. So they bring on conservative voices to give their analysis, except especially in the case of CNN. They always bring on conservative, in air quote, voices that aren't actual conservatives. Some of them are former conservatives. Some of them are absolutely insane, fringe conservatives that they only have on because they want to make a point about how evil and dumb conservatives are. But they have them on, and the intent is to tell the audience who maybe is down the middle and watching CNN, their independents who are watching CNN, oh, wow, I mean, this is a conservative who actually hates Donald Trump. So they had Max Boot on with Don Lemon last night. Listen to this claim that he made.
Well, exactly. And Democrats have not been out to impeach every Republican president. I don't remember them trying to impeach George W. Bush, for example. They're impeaching Donald Trump because he did something so flagrant. And it doesn't matter if they want to impeach him from day one. They only launched the impeachment proceedings like 70 days ago because this evidence of this incredibly impeachable conduct surfaced.
Yeah, except it's not incredibly impeachable conduct. But let's be clear about something Max Boot just said. He said that he doesn't remember George W. Bush having to face calls for impeachment. Okay, you don't remember it. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. In fact, it 100% happened. Dennis Kucinich introduced an impeachment resolution that contained 35 articles of impeachment. And just to refresh your memory, Max.
An article of impeachment of President George W. Bush.
Oh, well, I mean, it's. But Max said he doesn't recall it. Did you hear that, though? Didn't he say impeachment? Hold on. Sometimes I screw up. Let's listen to it again.
An article of impeachment of President George W. Bush.
There it was.
Okay. So
it was right there.
Yeah. So I guess you don't really have a good memory, Max Boot. But let's go on, because he made other points, right?
Well, exactly. And Democrats have not been out to impeach every Republican president.
Okay, they haven't been out to impeach every Republican president, except for George W. Bush. And then for his dad, George H.W. Bush, because on January 16th, 1991, Congressman Henry Gonzalez introduced a resolution to impeach George H.W. Bush. Who is? Is he a Democrat or a Republican? Come on.
Republican.
He's a Republican. Right, Max Boot?
Well, exactly. And Democrats have not been out to impeach every Republican president.
Except on March 6, 1987, where that same congressman, Henry Gonzalez, introduced articles of impeachment against Ronald Reagan regarding the Iran-Contra affair. Ronald Reagan, what party does he belong to?
Republican.
Exactly. And Democrats have not been out to impeach every Republican president.
Except Congressman Lewis Thomas McFadden twice introduced impeachment resolutions against President Herbert Hoover. Hoover was what?
Republican.
Kind of feels like they have been going out of their way to impeach Republican presidents. Now, certainly this is the furthest it's gotten. But what's the difference between all of those other ones, including Richard Nixon, who was what?
Republican.
Exactly. What's the difference? See, when they went after Nixon, they had bipartisan support. They had Republicans who were saying the conduct from this president is too much. We support. We would like to move forward. And Richard Nixon tried to stay in power as long as humanly possible. He went to the courts to try to prevent certain documents from being exposed to the public that he knew would be the end of his presidency. And when he lost that, that's when he decided, I think it was 2, maybe 3 days later, to resign, because he knew it was going to lead to his impeachment. He knew it was going to lead to his impeachment because he knew he didn't have the support of Republicans. That's why it wasn't the kind of scandal that it would be today, that it is today with Trump. They don't have any Republicans on their support. Literally none. They're not going to get a single Republican vote in the House, nor will they get a single Republican vote in the Senate. Now, Hillary Clinton, again, I keep screwing these hacks up. Don't let me screw that up. They're hacks, and it's not my fault.
What do you want me to do? Get in your mind and say, hey, pulls on some strings?
Nancy Pelosi said today that none of this is political, which is, of course, absurd. Everything a politician does is inherently political, but okay, fine. She wants the American people to believe that President Trump's conduct was so bad, despite the timing not making any sense to most people, because we're so close to a re-election, they could just wait and make the case and have him lose the election. She wants them to believe that they're forced into this position. It's with heavy hearts that they are forced to do this. Okay, let's just go with that completely nonsense position. And let's say folks at home hear that and say to themselves, okay, it's with a heavy heart they're doing this. This is not political at all. Then they see the votes. Then they see not a single Republican. At a time when they've heard from a lot of Never Trump voices. When they've heard from Republicans in Senate, like Mitt Romney, who have called out the president. They're not going to get a single vote from the Republican side. They're going to look at that and they're going to say, wait a minute. Y'all just told us that this wasn't political. Then why did you not get a single vote on the other side? I'm not expecting every single senator to vote for impeachment, but you guys didn't get a single vote, including from the senators who don't like President Trump. How's that? They're going to see that and they're going to say to themselves, oh, I think you might have lied to us. You said it wasn't political, but when you've got a partisan down-the-line vote that doesn't even lead to the removal of this president, kind of feels like it was political, huh? Weird how that works. This is going to backfire. So as angry as I am, as annoyed as I am, as disgusted as I am, as embarrassed as I am, I still know that ultimately the Democrats aren't going to win. They're going to make it easier for Trump to win. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. 1-800-465-8770. I am trying to get 20 new subscriptions to my podcast by the end of the day. That's all I'm asking for. 20 of you who are listening. There are a billion people listening to my show right now. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of people. Billions even.
How accurate is that number? Didn't we just talk about accuracy with numbers yesterday?
I am off potentially give or take a few billion.
Okay. As long as you're being honest.
Yeah,
with me.
I mean the margin of error is 3.5 billion to 12 trillion.
That's accurate.
Yeah. I just need 20 of you to text the keyword podcast to 1-800-465-8770. I'm going to send you a link where you can look up all of the links to my podcast, whether we're talking about Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Google Play. You'll get it all. I just need 20 today. So text the keyword podcast to 1-800-465-8770 or go wherever it is you get your podcast and just search Jason Rant Show. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending on the campaign trail?
So obviously, because of impeachment, I feel like a lot of us have not been paying too close attention to what's going on the campaign trail. And I feel like some of us are missing some interesting and intriguing and unhinged positions that people are putting out there. And we start with Cory Booker, who was on CNN responding to the fact that Kamala Harris has stepped down. She's no longer a nominee for president because she's unlikable and uninspiring. But to Cory Booker, she was simply defined as a female African American. So this is what Cory Booker had to say about that.
Well, let me just say, Kamala, before she was a senator, presidential candidate, she was my friend, she was my sister. And so today I'm a little angry, I have to say, that we started with one of the most diverse fields in our history, giving people pride. And it's a damn shame now that the only African-American woman in this race who has been speaking to issues that need to be brought up is now no longer in it. And we're spiraling towards a debate stage that potentially we're still fighting to get on it, but could have six people with no diversity whatsoever.
Okay, real quick, just confirm whether or not this counts as diverse. Gay dude.
That probably counts as diverse.
That
yes,
diverse.
I would claim that as diverse in my book. I don't know about, you know, Cory Booker's
book. Let's continue, because let's continue, and you can tell me if there are any others there. So we got gay guy and Pete Buttigieg.
Okay.
We've got, does an Asian person count?
That counts.
Okay.
I checked that box.
So Andrew Yang, Yang Gang, that counts as ever? Okay. Jew?
Yeah.
Well, not to the Democrats. Mm. So we'll push that one aside. Native American?
Yes.
Elizabeth Warren? I think that counts.
That's diverse.
We've got a lot of diversity in this stage. Again, it's not diverse to some people unless one particular demographic is represented. But if that's your position, then you're never going to be happy. There's always going to be someone that's left out. Because at the end of the day, you're going to get one presidential nominee and one vice presidential nominee. You can't have as diverse of a candidate as you'd like to see up on that stage represented by all these other people. I suppose you can have an African-American, female, lesbian, Native American, blind woman
and
as president.
And then we're hitting diversity?
Yeah. And then you're going to have to get someone who is transgender and Latino, but also mixed a little bit with Asian. Put Peyton out there.
A little bit.
I mean, I don't quite understand where they're coming from here. Just because you don't have a black female candidate does not mean that you're not diverse. Maybe, just maybe, you should decide who you're going to vote for based on the person who best speaks to you as an American voter. And it's funny because earlier today, Ruben Gallego, he is a Democrat from Arizona, he's a representative. He made an interesting comment specifically about Kamala Harris because he was one of her supporters.
Look, it's a very crowded field. I think that was probably one of the hardest things. I think it is very difficult for a woman of color, especially the first woman of color, to run for office.
Why? I know in this country, the answer would be because we got a lot of evil, bigoted conservatives. Okay, ridiculous position, but let's push that aside. She's running in the primary. Why is it harder for a woman of color to run as a Democrat during the primary season? Are you guys all racist? I mean, you pander a lot to African Americans and Latinos and gays and Jews and whatnot. Why are you having such a hard time? What is it about the activist base of the Democratic Party that makes it harder for an African American woman to run a successful campaign? He doesn't actually answer that, does he?
It's such a very intense time when it comes to all the levels of social media and media.
I don't know what that... So you think that it doesn't work for Kamala Harris because Twitter shows that she's an African American woman? Again, are your voters, are the Democrats all racist?
And at the end of the day, you know, I think she's still going to have a major part in this election. And I still think she would have been our best candidate to win this year and defeat Donald Trump.
Okay, got it. Speaking of diversity, let's go on to the first potential Native American woman. She would be, Elizabeth Warren would be the first pretend Native American woman to become the nominee from a major party.
That's impressive.
She could inspire future frauds of all kinds. The first, Rachel Dolezal, be the first pretend African-American woman. This, I don't downplay this. This is inspirational to frauds everywhere.
This is big storyline news.
I totally agree. She has plans for when she becomes president.
I spoke and I wore my pink Planned Parenthood scarf. Wow. Now, that's two. So here's my plan for number three. I'm going to be wearing that scarf when I'm sworn in as president of the United States.
Yeah. She's going to wear her Planned Parenthood scarf. You know why?
Why?
Because girl power. The left is all about symbolism. All about symbolism. Not about ideas that are actually going to be implemented. But big picture symbolic movements of, I'm not actually going to fight for policies that will help women. I'm going to give the appearance of helping women. And shame on any female voter who falls for that, coming from the left or from the right. Just simple symbolism. Speaking of abortion, Pete Buttigieg got a question about it. Mayor Pete. Except the question about abortion comes from a 7-year-old girl.
I believe that you make your decision on whether you're going to have a child, and then your decision is made, and the abortion is not part of it.
I don't know what you're saying.
What do you think about that?
What was the question?
I don't know. What do you think about that?
Hold on. Okay, let's try to figure this out.
I believe
she believes that
you make your decision,
okay, make your decision
on whether you're going to have a child, and then your decision is made, and the abortion is not part of it.
What do you think about that, mister?
Let's see how good of a politician Pete Buttigieg is. I'm assuming it's going to come up at the start. Oh, you're such a smart young woman with this. This is a very serious topic. Oh, good for you for asking.
Well, thanks for speaking up about this. And thanks for being here.
See? God, I'm good.
And I wish I was as tuned in to big issues when I was 7 as you seem to be.
I wish I had parents who have put in my head all this propaganda about abortion. It's so adorable that a seven-year-old girl is concerned about abortion. Any 7-year-old shouldn't even be thinking about abortion either way, as pro-life or pro-choice.
This is a hard issue for a lot of people because they believe different things.
Oh, thank you.
And where I live, people believe different things, including people that I respect.
It's going to answer the question.
The way I think about it is that this choice, it's about drawing a line.
Okay.
And we might each, following our own beliefs, have a different idea about where to draw the line.
You already said that.
What I hope everybody, or at least most of us, can agree on is who gets to draw the line. And that's the person making the decision. That's the woman in question.
But you do want me to pay for that abortion, right? You do want tax dollars to subsidize the decisions that we have no role in making. Got it. Thanks. I don't think he was answering her question either, because I still don't know. we're assuming that she's pro-choice. She might be pro-life. I couldn't tell from that question.
The only question that was in there was, what do you think about that?
And what do you think about that?
And that's like what I say to you when I say, I'm going home early for the day. You get to do the show by yourself. What do you think about that? And then I walk out.
1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. To the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. Congressman Denny Heck, the Tacoma Democrat, he is calling it quits. He's retiring at the end of this term because his soul is weary. Not from all of the horrible things he's said about Donald Trump, calling him a racist who doesn't care about black people, claiming he's a Manchurian candidate, but he's actually blaming Donald Trump. So what is the Republican Party doing to gain some foothold in Washington's 10th district? Joining me on the line is Caleb Heimlich. He is the pride of Puyallup, the chair of the Washington State GOP. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jason.
So obviously, we are happy to see Denny Heck go. He's a nice enough guy, but he should not have been in a position for so long covering JBLM and University Place in Tacoma.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he is a nice guy personally, and it's pretty ironic when he's talking and bemoaning the loss of civility when you contrast that with his rhetoric regarding the president and all the things he's said. So this is a real opportunity for us. I live down in the 10th. I mean, Pierce County, we've done a great job down there in getting Republicans elected. And so we've got a lot of strong potential candidates as Republican legislators, state senators, representatives, county council members. So we are talking to people aggressively now over the next several days. But this is an opportunity. You don't have open congressional seats very often. And so we're excited and we're very optimistic about what we can do in the next year.
So when something like this happens, do you approach proactively individuals or do they come to you? Is it a combination of both?
Yeah, it's definitely a combination of both. I mean, I'm sending texts, making phone calls now and receiving texts, making phone calls as well. And so it is a combination. I mean, obviously, in order to get someone to make that type of a life choice, to choose to step into an office like that and run, that's a big decision. And that's a big sacrifice to campaign for the next year and then to serve in Washington, D.C., across the country. But we've got a lot of good potentials, and I'm having conversations with those potential candidates right now, looking at what that would look like, looking at what we need to do to raise money, and then really to get the grassroots base enthused. And that's where I think this is a real benefit to us. We have a lot of important legislative races in that same area. You mentioned the 28th, University Place Lakewood, Senator Steve O'Bann. We absolutely want to hold his seat. So having a good, strong Republican running for Congress in that district will help us with that. We have the 25th, where you've had Hans Zeiger right there in Puyallup, my hometown. Hans Zeiger, Chris Gilden, Kelly Chambers. And so that's an important legislative district and going to be some competitive races there. And so having a strong candidate in the 10th will benefit us there. And obviously, this is an opportunity for us to replace Speaker Pelosi. I mean, if we can gain this seat, that's one more that we need back in Washington, D.C. So it's a very exciting opportunity. We're working hard, getting in touch with people, and optimistic we'll be able to put forward a very strong candidate.
And my assumption is there's going to be a lot of money nationally poured into this district, correct?
Yeah, I mean, if it's close, I mean, as we saw with the eighth congressional district last year was the third most expensive congressional race in the country, $27 million total spent. And so if it becomes a competitive race, if we have a strong candidate, if they have a strong candidate, if the majority is at stake, then absolutely national money flows in there. And yeah.
So why would this be any different, in your view, from the result with Washington 8? So obviously, Dave Reichert decided to call it quits. This was a Republican district as long as he was there, which was a long time. Then you got Dino Rossi coming in, going up against Dr. Kim Schreier. I don't know if you know this, but she's actually a doctor. She's a pediatrician. I just want to make sure everyone knows that.
I'd heard that.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how many people have forgotten that. So obviously, it went with Dr. Kim Schreier, and that in large part was due to the money and the Seattle influence. So why do you think anything would be different in Washington's 10th?
Well, I think 2020 is different than 2018 for one big reason. This is the presidential cycle, and so we're going to see turnout much higher. And in 2018, we had high turnout, but it was an off year. And in an off year like that, the party in power, the party that controls the White House, historically loses seats. That happened in 1994. It happened in 2010. And then it happened in 2018. And so that national Democratic advantage goes away in 2020. The second reason is we'll have a contrast. I mean, in 2020, there is going to be a standard bearer for the Democratic Party, and that could be a socialist. I mean, that could be who is at the top of their ticket, whether it's Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren. And so that gives the voters a clear contrast of what is the future you want, the direction you want our country to head. Do you want to head towards European-style socialism, or do you want to stay free and prosperous as we have? And so for those two big reasons, that kind of at the macro national level, I'm optimistic for both the 8th and the 10th. And then when it comes down to it, obviously it's all about the candidate. If you have a good, strong candidate that's connecting, that's moving it, kind of moving things forward and is engaging, and that's what we're hoping to have both in the 8th and the 10th, put up forward a stronger candidate that can win that matchup. And unfortunately, didn't quite work out for us in 2018, but it was close. And we've got now two chances here in 2020.
Just joining us, I'm talking with Caleb Heimlich. He is the Washington State Chairman of the GOP, also known as the Pride of Puyallup. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the president. Yesterday, his senior advisor, John Pence, was on the show and indicated there's a very high likelihood of the president coming to the Seattle region for a rally of some kind. Obviously, there's a lot of benefits, but it also seems potentially some downsides. So you would like to see the president here, but are there any unintended consequences?
Well, sure. I mean, first of all, he's the president of the United States. And so if the president of the United States is coming, I think that is a boon for us, a boon for our region to have the president here on the ground, understanding what's happening, whether it's at GBLM or other areas of national interest. And so if the president's coming to Washington State, I think first and foremost, that's a win for our state and our region. On the political side, I mean, when President Trump came in 2016, we were able to register lots of voters, people that hadn't been engaged before. And so we're getting them registered to vote, and they're voting, which is great for the process and great for the Republican Party and our candidates. Obviously, he's a polarizing figure in Washington State. But I think at the end of the day, if he's coming here, he's coming here. And that's, then we'll try and capitalize on that. We'll register voters. We'll try and sign up volunteers. Our main focus is what's happening at the state level and what we've seen with $30 car tabs. What we're seeing every day out of Seattle provides us a very clear contrast for the direction we want our state to go. And so that's what most of our candidates are talking about in legislative races and statewide races. And I think on those issues, we can peel over Democratic voters. And we have to do that in a state like Washington in order to win. We've got to win over Democrat voters. So certainly everything we do is that tough balance. But by all means, I mean, the Republican Party in Washington State does support President Trump. I think on the net, he's been very positive for the country and fighting for a prosperous economy, strengthening our standing on the foreign stage. And so if he came to Washington, I think that would be a boost to get lots of people involved and enthused.
Last question for you. Have you seen the same amount of statewide data that the Trump campaign has seen nationwide, and that the impeachment process, which today took another giant step forward, Nancy Pelosi announcing she is going to draft up the articles of impeachment, has that pushed people in the direction of the Republican Party here?
It certainly enthused our volunteers. I mean, we've conducted 25 trainings across the state. We've trained over 2,100 activists, many of whom are getting involved for the very first time. And it's because they're saying enough is enough. We're tired of Seattle. We're tired of them pushing this radical agenda. And we're seeing the same thing at the national level, where they're just prosecuting a witch hunt for the sake of doing that. And people are saying, you're not listening to the voters, whether it's on $30 car tabs or whether it's on who we elect as president of the United States. The Democrats have a real problem letting the voters decide.
If you want to do your part and shining a spotlight on the possibility of Donald Trump coming to the Seattle area for a rally, please text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link to my story and my interview with senior advisor John Pence to the Trump campaign. If you want to bring Trump here, text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link to my story. Please post it on Twitter and Facebook. Caleb Heimlich is the Washington State GOP chairman. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jason.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Jason Rancho. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Don't forget, I am trying to get to 20 new subscribers today by the end of the night. The best way to catch up on the show if you miss any moment of it or to relive your favorite moments is on the podcast. So whether you're on Apple Podcasts or Google Play or Stitcher, just search Jason Rancho or text the keyword podcast to 1-800-465-8770. No, if you're wondering, do I hit a bonus if I were to get the 20? Definitely not, because I am not motivated by money, sir.
No, you're not at all.
But my London trips are very expensive. And so if I were doing this for the bonus, it would be going to giving me just like the semblance of a break, even though I was still working when I was in London.
Man, imagine if producers got bonuses. That would be nice.
Imagine if producers did as good of a job on air than the host who actually brings in the money to the building.
Because that's what happens. Just that's what you do.
Just throwing that out there. Text the keyword podcast to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link. So porch piracy is an issue around the holidays. It's an issue year-round, but it's especially more noticeable when you've gone on Amazon. You got that Black Friday deal for four Blu-rays or four 4K videos for like $22, and you got them shipped, and then you're you got that little note that says, hey, we dropped off your package. Then you get home and you realize, where's, honey, did you bring in the package of Blu-rays? And he's all like, no. And you're all like, we've been porch pirated. So what are you supposed to do when you are the victim of someone stealing from your porch, your Amazon goods, or whatever else you're getting? Sean Whitcomb with the SPD tells our sister station, Cairo Radio.
Some people have their stuff stolen. They just reorder it. By reporting it to us, we know where it's happening. More likely than not, who's doing it? Because so many of these crimes are done by the same people. They're prolific offenders.
That is the most important thing having to do with any crime that happens, big or small. Report it. You should report it. We have a bunch of folks in the Seattle area that like to point to data to suggest, oh, crime is down. We haven't had as many car break-ins as we've had in the past. And then you look at the data and you're like, that doesn't sound right. We're down? I got broken into last week. Did you call the cops? Did you report it online? Well, if the answer is no, then it didn't go into that data set. Now, I know why a lot of people choose not to report these things. Sometimes it's a big hassle. Sometimes it's not that big of a deal. All that happened was they rummaged through your car, but they didn't actually take anything because you left your door unlocked. They just were looking for the opportunity to steal some good stuff, but you don't got it. You're like, not a big deal. I won't report it. You should report it. Because then the data is more reflective of what's going on. The data then can be used by politicians in Seattle to ignore, but maybe in Bellevue or Enumclaw or Puyallup to actually create some sort of policy to address the concerns. Make sure you report it, especially if it's valuable.
Don't take a chance with that. Everyone has the ability to have something delivered to a storage locker or, pick it up at the facility. I know it's inconvenient.
I don't like that idea.
Kind of defeats the whole purpose of buying it online.
Yeah,
I don't want to leave my couch.
I'll just go to the mall. I mean, I don't like that, Sean. And I like Sean. He's a good dude. That's a horrible answer.
Yeah, bad take.
Yeah, that's not a good take, man. That's
ice cold.
That's a hot take that ain't so hot. I'm with you, though, in that I've only experienced a porch piracy situation one time when I lived in a townhome in Seattle.
Did you make him walk the plank?
Okay, you were thinking about that all day.
Yeah.
You were thinking about that all day, right?
Yeah.
Literally all day.
Yeah, 100%. Once I saw it on the script, I was like, man, what pirate pun can I throw in here?
Wasn't even a good one.
You but think of a better one in the remaining few minutes while you talk. Go ahead.
Okay. So, har! I will not do that. So, see, because pirates are har, har. Okay. Because I don't know, puns are for idiots. It happened to me once, and part of the reason why I didn't actually report it was because all that was sent to me weirdly, it was Black Friday. I bought some Blu-rays, right? And it was from Amazon. I went on Amazon. I reported it as stolen. And then they shipped to me overnight the exact same products that had just been stolen. No harm, no foul. It wasn't even really an inconvenience because of how easy it is to figure this all out. And so I get why people don't necessarily want to report it. But again, you should report it.
So you didn't report it to the local authorities?
I did not.
Hypocrite?
Well, yeah.
Hypocrite? What do you hate more than anything on the world besides yourself?
Small talk.
Hypocrites.
SeaTac Airport.
Hypocrites.
I mean, hypocrites, yeah. Hypocrisy, yes. Joe Biden yelled at some dude at a campaign rally in Iowa today, including calling him fat.
Did he make him walk the plank? Oh, darn it, that pun doesn't work here.
That didn't work. Now, to be fair, the gentleman was a little bit overweight.
A damn liar, man. That's not true. And no one has ever said that. No one has heard that.
I see it on the TV.
You see it on the TV.
I like that. I heard it on the TV, on the MSNBCs. He made the claim that people are talking about Joe Biden installing Hunter Biden on the board in Burisma, which is not true. That did not happen. Or at least there's no evidence to suggest that happened. And no, it's not being reported on TV.
No, I know you do. And by the way, that's why I'm not sedentary. I get up and
that's the worst burn. He's like, you're fat, but I'm not because I'm not sedentary. Like, that's an old person burn.
Good job, Joe. No malarkey.
Let him go. Look, the reason I'm running is because I've been around a long time and I know more than most people know.
And then it goes, like, that's kind of a weird humble brag, I guess.
Huge flex.
Oh, my God. It's like, I'm running because I'm smarter than everybody.
I can get things done. That's why I'm running. And you want to check my shape on, let's do push-ups together, man. Let's run. Let's do whatever you want.
Okay, and by the way, I technically believe that Joe Biden could do more push-ups than the fat guy. Joe Biden can't do that many push-ups, okay? He can barely stand up straight.
He looks like he weighs like 130 pounds. It won't be hard for him to do push-ups.
Look at his arms. They're so scrawny.
Number two. No one has said my son has done anything wrong, and I did not on occasion. And no one has ever said it. Not
I didn't
one.
Say you were doing anything wrong.
You said I set up my son to work in an oil company.
Oh, he's getting
isn't that what you said? Get your words straight, Jack.
That's
my name's Dave.
You're on MSNBC.
You don't hear that on MSNBC. You did not hear that at all. What you heard? Look, okay, I'm not going to get an argument with you, man.
Well, I don't want to.
Well, yeah, you do, but look, fat, look.
Look fat. What a weird into look fat. Okay.